Want to preach a sermon this morning? I've entitled "Legalism and Licentiousness," and two of the great dangers or enemies of true Christianity that lead people into deception and can cause many to stumble and generally destroy true faith and kill off the life of God amongst the church is legalism and the other extreme of licentiousness. They are two extremes, but they're really both sides of the same coin, and they lead to spiritual death. And the New Testament is full of warnings and guards us against both. In every Christian's life, temptations will come along to either get us into either of these areas, because Satan wants to rob you and I of the life of God. Because without God's life and without his spirit at work amongst his people, we are, in effect, just another religious sideshow, which can be have no spiritual effect. It can render us ineffective. So firstly this morning, I want to look at legalism. Legalism is man's answer to the problem of sin. By setting rules and regulations and man-made standards, somehow we think that we can justify ourselves before God. It is a self-made righteousness. Religion loves rules, regulations and rituals. We love to legislate for every eventuality. It helps us to put God in our own little box. And as long as we're keeping to the rules, we feel like God somehow must be pleased with us. Now, in the New Testament, there was the Galatian church in the book of Galatians. And the Galatian church had a problem with legalism. They began to go back to the Judaic law and ritual and religion. And in Galatians 4 and verse 9, it says this: "But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have laboured for you in vain." This was a church going back to legalism, to the legalistic religion. Touch not, taste not, handle not. And the scripture tells us that this brings bondage. He said, "You desire again to be in bondage." And that is precisely what religion does. It brings people into bondage. It produces guilt, fear and condemnation. And legalists are never satisfied with just being in bondage on their own. They love to place their rituals and man-made doctrines on everybody else as well. Paul warned against the Judaizers who were trying to destroy the church, compelling men to be circumcised and to follow the Jewish laws, to go back to the old covenant. And Jesus said that the Pharisees laid burdens on men's shoulders that neither they nor their forefathers were able to bear and would not so much as lift a finger to help. He said that they concentrated on the trivial whilst neglecting the important. They tithed of mint, cumin and anise, but they neglected the weightier matters of the law, love, justice and mercy. They plucked the speck out of their brother's eye whilst neglecting the plank in their own. And that's what legalism does, doesn't it? It makes you critical of everyone who doesn't measure up to your religious rules and standards. And it's still around as much today as it was in the early church. You know, rules like you can't go to the pictures on a Sunday, no makeup allowed, only certain types of music allowed, not allowed to have anything expensive or luxurious, no holidays allowed. We can be legalistic in many ways, setting rules that aren't scriptural, some things that are just a matter of conscience. And legalism is used to justify ourselves often before God. You remember the time when the Pharisee prayed that he was not like other men? Thank God that he wasn't like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers. He said he fasted twice a week, gave tithes of all he possessed. He justified himself before God. Yet the Bible says that he didn't go away justified. It was the sinner, the publican who prayed out, "God be merciful to me, a sinner," who went away justified. And that's what legalism does. It justifies itself before God. It's blind to the true moral bankruptcy that's really there. It's an outward religion, not an inward change. It can be subtle. It can creep in unawares. And we have to be on our guard against it in our lives because it can rob us of the very life of God. Galatians 3:1-3 says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? We cannot be made perfect by the efforts of our flesh. Man-made religion. Paul said, who has bewitched you? In other words, who's cast a spell over you? Who's tricked you into going back to legalism? You began in the Spirit. Why are you now trying to finish in the flesh? You and I this morning, we're saved by grace. We can't earn our salvation through our own works. We do the works that we do because we are saved, not in order to get saved. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. You and I have been given liberty in Jesus Christ. We are no longer under the law. We no longer have to observe days and seasons and months. We no longer have to follow Jewish rituals and ceremonial laws. Christ has fulfilled the law. Our righteousness is in him. God has justified us. He's declared you and I righteous, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. We've been given the Holy Spirit to perfect us and to change us. And you and I, in Christ, we're living in the Spirit and we live by the law of the Spirit. Through God's Spirit, we're able to keep the spirit of the law and not just the letter. The letter kills, it says in the scripture, but the Spirit brings life. The Pharisees were good at keeping the letter of the law, yet they broke the spirit of the law. They thought it was okay to look at a woman with adulterous thoughts, or, you know, but yet they condemned to death anyone who committed adultery. But as far as God was concerned, they'd already committed adultery in their hearts. See, when God changes lives, he changes us from the inside out, doesn't he? Legalism tries to change us from the outside in. Jesus said that a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. If you want to produce good fruit, you have to change the root. You and I in Christ have been grafted into the vine, haven't we? So that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit. And unless we're clean on the inside, we can't produce any fruit. What legalism produces is bondage. It robs us of the life of God. It infects other believers and it can be like a cancer to the church. And we have to guard against it and ensure that we keep to and hold to the truth and don't get into man-made religion. It's the biggest stumbling block in the world, religion. Outward displays of piety without any inward change. Hypocrisy, Jesus called it. Galatians 1:6-9, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Paul gave this warning twice. If any other gospel is preached, let them that preach it be accursed. They're strong words, aren't they? But so serious is the disease of legalism if it infects the church. And this country that we live in is full of dead religion, man-made efforts at pleasing God. And it's not good enough. We need Christ and we need the Spirit of God. If we're going to walk in the truth this morning and not get caught up in just being religious. Religion can be just as much a bondage as any vice or sin. It's a heavy taskmaster. And legalism does not produce the righteousness of God. Men love religion because it appeases their conscience. It excuses them from their sins. It justifies them in their own eyes. But Christ came to set us free from legalism and trying to earn salvation through self-righteousness. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Men love to live by rules and regulations to justify themselves. But as Christians, we're not under the law, but we're under grace. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Nothing we can do or say can add to that or be offered to justify us. We're under the new covenant in Christ. We're not under the old covenant this morning. The purpose of the old covenant was to bring us to Christ. The law, it says, was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law taught us that we are sinners, that we needed salvation. The law killed us. It took away from us any hope that somehow we might be able to do good in order to save ourselves. It convinced us that we are guilty as charged. You know, we are now under God's grace. God's moral law has now written on our hearts, not on tablets of stone. You can write a million pages of rules and regulations this morning, trying to cover every possible circumstance and decision, and you'd still not be able to do so. But the foundation of the law is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself. And if everything that people did was based on those two commandments, there'd be righteousness and justice in the world. You and I have the law of God written on our hearts in Christ. And what's more than that, God has given you and I the Holy Spirit, who teaches us and enables us and empowers us to obey Him. But the Galatian church here were no longer living in the Spirit. He says they'd fallen from grace. They were living back under a yoke of slavery. They were trying to be justified by the works of the law rather than by faith in Christ. The law's purpose was to convince us of sin, to accuse us and cause us to come to repentance, to bring us to Christ. Only Christ can justify you and I before God or any man. It's only through His righteousness. Only Christ fulfilled the law of God. And through God's grace, we've been given that gift of Christ's righteousness. Amen. We're under grace. The law came by Moses, it says, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, having freedom and liberty in Christ frightens religious people. They want everything pinned down to a set of rules. But when you're living in the Spirit, you want to obey God. You choose to be a slave of righteousness. You have a new heart and a new mind. Your desire is to please God. Not in order to justify yourself before God, but because you love God, because He's given you that new heart and mind. We obey Him because we're already accepted and justified, not in order to be justified. Our righteousness will never satisfy God's righteous requirements. The Bible says all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. We need Christ, don't we, to justify us. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ. However, that doesn't mean that we can live how we want, that we can abuse the grace that we've been given. Galatians 5:13 says this, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." The entire law could be summed up in a single command, love your neighbour as yourself. See, when the love of Christ is in our hearts, we'll do no harm to our neighbour, will we? We'll only want to do good. We'll not be selfish. We'll obey the law of Christ. We'll live in righteousness. True freedom is being free from the bondage of sin, is it not? And self-righteousness, and both legalism and carnality bring bondage to our lives, and they cut us off from the power and the grace of God. We're called to be people that live in the Spirit of God, who are under grace, who are obedient to God. We no longer have to live in slavery to sin. We have the power and grace to break free, thank God. Jesus came to set men free. And when we're free, we have peace, forgiveness, joy, and God's love in our hearts, don't we? You know, in our nation and in the free world, as it's often called, we do to some extent recognise the value of liberty and freedom. To live in a land where there's freedom, but it's less so today, isn't it? You know, we have the freedom, though, to live according to our conscience, to practice our religion, to express our views and opinions, and even to elect our own governments. Freedom's a valuable thing. But even if we live in a free country, in the spiritual realm, we can still be slaves and prisoners. Sin holds people in chains, in bondage, in captivity. But God is a God this morning who sets people free. Jesus died to break the power of sin in man's lives. John 8:34-36 says this. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Romans 6:18. "You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." Luke 4:18. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." See, Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captives. The very purpose of Jesus' death on the cross was to save his people from their sins, so that we can be free, so that we can be who God created us to be. You and I have been set free in Christ, not to remain in sin, but to be set free from sin. True liberty isn't having the freedom to do what we want. It's freedom from the bondage of sin. It's freedom from fear and guilt. It's freedom to live in righteousness and truth. Jesus came to free us from our sins, not so we can carry on in our sins. You know, the one thing that seems to be missing from a lot of the Christian world today is genuine repentance. You know, God has called us this morning to holiness. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." To separation from sin, from the flesh, from the world, and from the devil. We're called to holiness and righteousness. And this is where that doctrine of once saved, always saved is a dangerous one. It's like you've got your ticket to heaven, now you can do what you want because salvation's assured. It's a false doctrine. It's a dangerous doctrine. The Bible says without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We're in a battle with our flesh, with the world and the devil. And we do get hit with temptation, don't we? But through Christ, we can overcome our flesh and the temptation if we walk in his Spirit. Galatians 5:16-18 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfil the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." The scripture speaks a lot about abstaining from fleshly lusts, mortifying the flesh, dying to self, crucifying the old nature. The answer to that lies in walking in the life of God every day. Without the Holy Spirit ruling and reigning in us, we have no chance of resisting the flesh, do we? The whole reason why Christ came was because we couldn't do it through religious effort. We couldn't do it of ourselves. We needed God's power and God's Spirit to empower us to live that life that's pleasing to God. David Pawson said, "Christ's death has dealt with our past, but we need Christ's life if we're going to live the Christian life as God intends." See, we have the freedom to choose now in Christ. Am I going to obey God, or am I going to obey the flesh? We have the power to say no to sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Romans 6 tells us this. In verse 11-14, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. You see, grace is what gives us power over sin. Sin is no longer our master. We can choose to disobey sin and obey God. Praise God for that this morning. We can say no to our evil desires. We are now under grace. God has given us his Holy Spirit to empower us to live right before him. We're free to serve God now and to be living in righteousness. Sadly, we do fail from time to time to live as free men. Sometimes we take our eyes off God. Sometimes we fall into sin. But that should not be our normal course or practice. If we put ourselves back in the prison cell, it's of our own choosing, isn't it? Because the prison door has been unlocked. We don't have to stay in prison anymore. Christ came to set us free and to deliver us from the power and the bondage of sin. There are those who abuse the grace of God, who presume upon him. But we've been called to be saved from our sin this morning, not saved in order to carry on sinning. The Bible tells us not to use our liberty as a cloak for wickedness. In other words, just because we're under grace now and we've been forgiven doesn't mean we can continue living in sin. Romans 6, 1 to 3 says this. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Romans 6, 15 says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Good question. It says, by no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one who, to whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. We are now slaves to righteousness. But you know something this morning? Enslavement to righteousness actually brings freedom and liberty to our lives. We can now have peace, joy, and fulfillment spiritually, and that is true freedom. Our heart desire should be to not sin, but to yearn for righteousness and holiness, to want more of God and less of self and sin, crucifying the flesh so that we can see fruitfulness of the Spirit of God in our lives. Legalism and licentiousness both amount to the same thing. Legalism is a way of using a religious cloak to cover up our fleshly nature and carnality as well, just letting it all hang out. But both are served by one master, the flesh, self-serving flesh. The only answer for you and I is the life of God, walking in the grace of God, listening to his Spirit, trusting in and relying upon Christ and letting him do the change on the inside. Romans 8 and verse 1 through to 16. Just turn that. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. We need to walk in the Spirit, not to be legalistic and not to let the flesh have free rein either. Then we'll have real freedom, because the flesh only brings bondage and death, but the Spirit of God brings life and peace. You know, righteousness doesn't come through the works of the law, but by faith and obedience to Christ. We can't earn our salvation, and when we try to, we get entangled with this yoke of bondage. That doesn't mean that we live without law. On the contrary, God's law is written on our hearts. We're called to holiness, are we not? To righteousness. The Spirit of God is at work in us, sanctifying us and purifying us. But our justification before God comes through Christ alone. I don't know about you this morning, but I want freedom. I want peace and joy. I want forgiveness and power over sin. You know, sin only destroys and brings ruin to our lives, doesn't it? Legalism only brings guilt and fear. But Jesus Christ, he brings freedom, life and peace. And we're those who live in the Spirit. We no longer have to obey the sinful nature. We have freedom from sin and freedom from bondage. Let's live then as free men and women in Christ. Amen. 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 Let's pray this morning. Lord God, we thank you that you have indeed come into our lives and set us free. Lord God, you've come in and saved us from our sins so that we can live in you, Lord. And we thank you for your mercy and we thank you for your intervention this morning. Let us continue to live in that freedom that you've brought to us, Lord, and not become entangled again with either religion or falling into carnality. Let us be a people who walk in the Spirit this morning and don't fulfil the lust of the flesh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's sing a song this morning.